Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to another episode of The Other Identity. Thank you very much for downloading. I'm, of course, one of your hosts, Robbie Landis, the great Landis, and along with me, as always, because I wouldn't have it any other way, Professor Awesome, Ben Morris.
And I'd like to say a personal thank you to any of you who have downloaded this. Well, hope if you're listening, you downloaded it. So thank you for listening to us. We appreciate it. Hey, we just came from a lively conversation on Twitter with a couple of listeners, as well as Empire artist Valerio Schini was interacting with us this morning. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, in fact, I'd love to make sure that we give shout outs to people because it makes them feel special. You know, it's at least a small way to reward them. So shout out specifically to Dano Cosmic on Twitter for engaging with us. Anytime that you guys, you know, find the time to tweet at us on Twitter, that's at Robbie_LandisCP or at BenJMORSE or at Checkpoint XP, we will take the time to respond because we love hearing from you guys. We love it when you share your opinions with us, and we'd love to have discussions with you on the social medias whenever we can.
Yeah, definitely. So definitely reach out to us and let us know what you think of all the stuff we're talking about on the show. But Robbie, what have you been reading lately?
You know what? Up until about an hour before the show, I wouldn't have had much to say because the last big thing that I read was Empire.
Yep.
But I did jump back in to the DC Rebirth Challenge with Mother Panic. Now, how familiar are you? Like, what's the background that you know of behind Mother Panic? Because I don't know a whole lot myself.
Sure. On a scale of 1 to 10, I know 0. I have no idea who Mother Panic is. I think that's a new character that was introduced as part of the Young Animal line, and I have yet to read any of the Young Animal line, so I have no familiarity with Mother Panic.
All right, so it's the story of Violet Page, and that's one of the things that I was wondering, because I think within the DC Rebirth area, I think it's a limited run of at least so far 12 issues.
Yeah,
there's a lot of it that's reminiscent of what I think a lot of people would like about Batman, you know, tragic past, vigilante during the night type thing, doesn't consider herself a hero. Very brutal in some of the story and some of the scenes. I really enjoyed what I read. It can be very dense at times, a lot of words, but I really enjoyed what I read. And there's even a few small appearances by Batman in there as well. So it takes place in Gotham City. But it's definitely one of the issues and one of the characters within the DC Rebirth run of the limited variety that I would love to see more of, as opposed to like when I read Doom Patrol and I'm like, okay, that was enough of that.
Meanwhile, over on the other side of the street, I've actually been binging on, I finished up Kelly Thompson's Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. I got to the same point you did where there was no more issues left on Marvel Unlimited.
Okay, Kelly, that means you need to release more issues.
Yeah.
Kelly, I know it's not up to you.
But No, from what I understand, Kelly Thompson is the VP in charge of Marvel Unlimited. So that request goes straight to her. Please release more of your issues. But I've jumped over to another one I know you like, and that is Miles Morales' Spider-Man.
Oh, I didn't get caught up. I just saw that. I think Saladin put out
Saladin Ahmed and
issue 22,
Javier Garon.
Right?
I'm way back at the beginning. I'm on like issue 3, but man, this is another just high quality book. I just finished the opening arc where he teams up with Rhino and Captain America.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. And I love the way he used Captain America, where he wasn't afraid to make old person jokes, but at the end of the day, you're like, holy crap, that's Captain America. This means a lot. And I really, really, really like the art by Javier Garon. And I believe the colorist is David Curiel. Top-notch stuff. I remember Javier from when I was there, did a Cyclops book, and it was set in outer space. So I'm very familiar with him doing like exotic aliens and stuff like that. To see him dial it back and draw just, you know, the adventures of Miles Morales and put just as much talent into drawing quiet conversations between Miles and Genki as he would with, you know, a Shi'ar dogfight. That's pretty impressive. I love it when artists can do that, when they can excel not only at the big action pieces, but also kind of move into the quieter stuff. I think that's what really impresses me from artists.
Yeah, no, it's definitely on my list to get back into the Miles Morales stuff as soon as I can. You know, it's really weird that as far as like the DC stuff goes, it's like on our reading lists, you know, it's a little bit older stuff, and all the stuff that I want to read from Marvel right now is still right in the midst of coming out. So there's like this, there's this weird ebb and flow where like I can read a little bit of Marvel, then I have to wait a few months to, you know, to read some DC, and then like back and forth. But speaking of new stuff in DC, that's actually
I was just gonna go there. Great segue.
What we're gonna be talking about today with DC's Infinite Frontier.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hey, what's up? It's James Campbell. Every week on Checkpoint XP On Demand, I'm joined by my co-hosts Weird Beard and Robbie Landis as we bring you a layman's perspective on all things esports and gaming. So whether it's the latest in Overwatch, Ninja doing something crazy, or a Mario Battle Royale, we'll cover it. You can get it on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. As always, I said it before last segment, but I'm going to say it again. Thank
so
you
long ago
for the download. We truly appreciate it. Now, I haven't looked yet, but I do hope if you haven't already that you guys are leaving us some reviews or at least giving us some stars on whatever your preferred platform of choice is. Whether it's the iPods or the Apple Podcasts, the Google Podcasts, the Spotifys, wherever it is you're listening, please take the time right now, if you can, to just go leave us a quick review, because it helps us tremendously, and we'll be eternally grateful for it. But with
I'm actually seeing a very nice review right now from Hupset. It's from back in December, but Robbie and Ben provide excellent commentary on current topics within the comic space as well as the cinematic space. Very nice. Thank you, Hupset.
You know what? And in fact, while you were doing that, I actually opened one, and we do have one. Oh, that's the one you just read. Never mind. All right, yeah. So but let's talk about Infinite Frontier, which is the new, I guess, initiative that DC is going forward with their DC Universe. It started with, I believe, the Future State, and Infinite Frontier Zero is sort of going to be, I think, the official launch. So, Ben, what exactly, because I've been seeing this for a while, Future State, Infinite Frontier, what exactly is going on with DC right now?
All right, so let's walk through what's been going on with DC recently. First of all, just to give a little context, Marvel tends to have events that are more like Empire, which is just let's get all the characters together and have them fight a big bad guy. And we have, you know, changes and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, the Avengers go back to being the Avengers, the FF go back to being the FF. DC is a little different in the sense that it seems every few years they like to do something that not only gets all their heroes together, but also provides kind of like a fresh start to their continuity. Now, this dates back to the fact that Crisis on Infinite Earths back in 1986, which we discussed way back in the archives, the purpose of Crisis was there were all these different Earths that DC had. You had Earth 1 with the Justice League, Earth 2 with the Justice Society, et cetera, et cetera. Crisis was supposed to bring those all together. Now, in the years since, they've done other books, stuff like Zero Hour, Infinite Crisis, Final Crisis, and then into the New 52 and Rebirth and Flashpoint. And every time they do one of these, to some degree or another, it basically starts from scratch, if that makes sense.
We can do a whole episode. It's kind of supposed to serve as like a new sort of
jumping on point
for people. Like anyone who wanted to start reading DC stuff but feel like, oh, I'm so behind, I'll never get caught up. Kind of the way that we started with Rebirth, now with Infinite Frontier Zero would be the place to jump in.
Infinite Frontier is the next one. And basically the way they led up to it was they did an event called Dark Knight's Death Metal, which I have not explored yet. I'll get it when it gets to DC Universe.
I'm almost there. Well, not the Death Metal, but I think Metal Knights or something.
I'm reading Metal actually on my own right now.
Oh, yeah. See, Dark Knight's Metal. It's like I'm 50 issues away, I think.
I'm reading Dark Knight's Metal on my own. I skipped ahead to it because I want to be prepared when Death Metal comes out. But Death Metal is basically a big – it's kind of a big – disaster, bringing everyone together, clashing realities.
That's more along the lines of what Marvel does with their events, right?
I would say that, but the only thing I would say is different with Death Metal is Death Metal is meant to kind of end the Rebirth era. In the sense that a lot of stuff that's been going on throughout Rebirth will kind of come to a crescendo in Death Metal. This is my understanding. And then Future State, which I think starts, if not this week, then next week. Future State is basically kind of a fun, more, not as consequential event. It's just going to be a look at, like, here's what the DC universe looks like in the future. And so it's almost like, think of Metal as the end of Rebirth, Future State as the palate cleanser, and then Infinite Frontier is, okay, we're starting a new era here, and this is where you can jump in. So it's almost like, if you want to see how Rebirth ends, read Death Metal. If you want to just have a fun kind of off-to-the-side story, read Future State. If you want to get in on the ground floor or something, that's where Infinite Frontier comes in.
Okay, and I'd also like to point out, too, that it launches in March, just in time for my birthday. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink,
This is what I got you. This is what I got you for your birthday was a chance for you to be able, because I know you're going to be through the Rebirth Era Challenge at that point. So I said, you know what? Robbie needs a new DC. Now, listen, I will say that this is both the strength and weakness of DC Comics. If you are someone like me who loves dense, long histories and gets into the nitty gritty of, you know, is this pre-crisis, post-crisis, etc., stuff like this is great, because I am sure Infinite Frontier will be wonderful for new readers, but usually with DC, they also build on their existing history. They can't help themselves.
Of course.
I will say it's a weakness, just in the sense that even when, well, basically it's a weakness in the sense that you can pick up a Marvel comic from any time between 1940 and today, and it's all part of one long ongoing story. If you pick up something you love that's DC from the 80s, from the 90s, from the 2000s, there's no guarantee that that story still counts, and it can get a little confusing to keep track of. So it's both good and bad.
Well, coming up here next, we're going to talk about some of the stuff that's coming out with Infinite Frontier that we're most looking forward to, because, of course, it's not just a single issue. They are launching a whole new line of books along with it. So stay tuned.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
College esports is still on the rise, so make sure you tune in to Checkpoint on Campus, the number one show for college esports. If you're still curious about some of the stories, like which college stars have made it to the LCS Proving Grounds, or what teams are dominating in CSL College, Checkpoint on Campus has the story for you. On BPod Studio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube.
All right, so Infinite Frontier, according to DC Official, it says Infinite Frontier will kick off the DC's post-Future State universe in March, featuring stories from new ongoing creative teams on major titles with a new Stargirl story from Geoff Johns and miniseries and special projects such as Batman Urban Legends, Crime Syndicate, Superman Red and Blue, Swamp Thing, and the sensational Wonder Woman. So, Ben, I'm going to go ahead and start with you here. What is it that you're most excited about?
I got a few things I'm very excited about. I'll give quick hits. I'm not going to totally shout them out, but I am excited for the new creative team on Batman Superman, because it's Gene Yuen Lang, who wrote New Superman that we liked, and it's drawn by Ivan Reis, who's brilliant. And then James Tynion IV, who did that Detective Comics run in Rebirth that we like so much, is going to be basically the Batman guy.
Ooh,
so I wanted to mention both of those.
No,
I would say the thing I am probably most excited for is the start, and that's Infinite Frontier number zero, both because it's going to be, I love big kind of bold preview issues where we get to see all the characters, and it's almost like a tasting menu where, oh, all right, here's what Superman's doing, here's what Harley Quinn's doing. I can decide what I want to sample. But you mentioned it in your recap, and that's the big draw for me is a new story by Geoff Johns. Geoff Johns, one of my favorite writers of all time. And so rare when we get comics work from him these days. He's busy usually on the movies and TV side of things. So I think the last big thing he did was Doomsday Clock, which I read as it came out. And for him to do a Stargirl story, and of course, anyone who knows the story behind Stargirl, it's a very personal story to Jeff. It's based, it's a character he created based after his deceased sister. And just a character I know he loves. So to get to see him doing a Stargirl story, that's first and foremost something I'm very excited about.
Yeah, I've actually, to my knowledge, I don't think that I've ever read any Stargirl whatsoever. So that's definitely one that I think is on my list and will be one of the few that I do try and follow right from the beginning. You know, the fact that this comes off of Rebirth and I'm in the middle of the Rebirth sort of reading era. While I don't think I'll be able to do it in time, I would like to try and finish that before jumping in and maybe actually try to get caught up and current on modern DC comics.
I'm kind of right now what I'm doing, if you want to ape this strategy, is anyone who follows me on social media knows that obviously I'm doing the Rebirth Era Challenge slowly, but something I don't share is I've been reading like the new DC books from the last 6 to 12 months that I think are like, they're my go-tos. I'm not reading everything, but Flash, Justice League, Detective Comics, Action Comics, Superman. I'm trying to keep up on those. So that's just something I do off on the side. I don't share it with the world, but I do read those relatively recent comics kind of because I want to get ready for stuff like this.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, you know, just looking at some of the stuff that they have here, I did notice that Superman and Action Comics, which Philip Kennedy Johnson's going to be writing, they're going to at least start with a two-parter featuring John Kent. And I'm wondering... Yeah. I'm wondering now, because, you know, Rebirth was basically, you know, the era that we were introduced to him, and I'm wondering how much they're going to allow him to grow up now, right? Yep. Because I think that that's one of the most interesting things that you normally see in the Batman mythos. You know, we saw Dick Grayson grew up to be Nightwing, all the other kids that Batman put on the path of
Jesus.
Of you know,
so
being heroes. Yeah. And
that's
see
a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, to see them grow up and come into their own as heroes and to eventually see that happen with Damian and Jonathan, I think is going to be very, very interesting.
So not to spoil you too much, but I have Superman is one of the titles that I've been reading more recently, as well as Legion of Superheroes, which is they're both written by Brian Michael Bendis. They actually did, I don't know if it was a year ago, a year and a half ago. Basically, there was an issue of Superman where John Kent either went into the future or another dimension and came back as like an early teenager. So his current status quo, the stuff you're reading in Rebirth, he's still a kid.
Yeah, he's but in the 12, I think, because Damian wouldn't let him into the Teen Titans.
In the current status quo, I believe he is a little bit older.
Okay.
I think he's like 14, 15. And they have allowed him to grow up a little bit. I have some friends who hate this revelation. They want him to stay a kid for a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. But I have a feeling you, Robbie, because you do like seeing that kind of advancement. Once you get to it, you're really going to dig what's going on with John Kent.
Very good. Very good. I'm also looking forward to the Wonder Woman comic, because Diana's in Valhalla for some reason. Is that something that you're also a little bit caught up on? Or
I am not caught up on Wonder Woman. I'm still in Rebirth era on Wonder Woman, so I don't know what led there. But I do know that Wonder Woman in recent months and years has been written by G. Willow Wilson, who was great on Ms. Marvel, as well as Steve Orlando. And I know they've done some pretty cool stuff with her, but I'm not fully familiar with what it is.
Well, and now, because I remember seeing that the headlines for it, they actually introduced a new Wonder Woman from Brazil. Is that continuing in Infinite Frontier, or was that just a future state thing?
So what's happening there is the new Wonder Woman from Brazil will be featured in Future State. And then, as I understand it, when we come back to Infinite Frontier, that character is going to be around, but in addition to Diana.
So Yara Flor is her name.
Yeah, she's not replacing Diana. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to exist alongside her some way, whether she's a new Wonder Girl, a second Wonder Woman. She will play into Infinite Frontier somehow, from what I understand.
Definitely looking forward to that. And I think just because, you know, in the Justice League Rebirth, every single one of those story arcs have been hitting so hard with me. I noticed that they are significantly expanding the Justice League roster going into as well.
That's one of my. That was one of the ones I was going to mention.
Yeah, Black Canary, Green Arrow, Naomi, Hippolyta, Black Adam. And there's also going to be a backup story with Constantine and Zatanna, which Zatanna does not get enough page time, IMO.
Absolutely. But the headline on Justice League for me is the creative team, and that's that it's being written by Brian Michael Bendis, so someone you're very familiar with from Ultimate Spider-Man, and who did a great multi-year Avengers run. He's written the X-Men, most recently he's written Superman. I love Brian personally and professionally, and I think that the past couple of years at DC, because he spent like 20 years at Marvel, I think coming over to DC and writing all these new characters has reinvigorated him on an amazing level. His Superman has been some of my favorite stuff that I've read in the past couple of years. Him on Justice League with David Marquez, who's a longtime collaborator of his, one of his best artists, the two of them working with this expanded roster and just telling the biggest adventures they can. This is the type of stuff I've been waiting for. I've been waiting to see Brian Michael Bendis on Justice League. I think a lot of people have, and I'm really anxious to see what he delivers, especially with this lineup.
All right, so a few other questions I have for you. What do you think of the Joker's getting his own ongoing series?
I want to be more excited than I am, but I have always found that when they try to give the Joker or characters like pure villains a ongoing title, you've seen it with Thanos, you've seen it with Venom. Venom is working right now because I think they basically, the short version is, if you want your bad guy to have a sustainable series, you're going to end up turning him into a good guy.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way for the point of view character to be a serial killer. The success of Dexter when it was on the air, I don't want to trigger you, but the success of Dexter when it was on the air aside, I think typically if Joker's going to be the star of his, I mean, look at Harley Quinn, look at Venom, look at even Thanos, they inevitably end up doing good stuff and it kind of waters them down. So I'm a little skeptical of Joker getting his own book.
And yeah, since you had mentioned it as well, Harley Quinn, of course, coming back as well. And, you know, just from the little sort of blurbs they put out for each of these, it also seems like Harley is continuing on that path, not just from an anti-hero, but it seems being a full-fledged hero. And
that's what it feels like.
And it seems like, too, from that they're going to be exploring more of her relationship with Poison Ivy as well.
Yeah, I know that's been a big thing recently, both in the comics and also on the animated series. So yeah, let's see. That's one of my favorite aspects of Harley. I love the Harley Ivy relationship from back when they started it on Batman the Animated Series and carrying through. It's always good. So why not go back to that well?
All right. So any other final thoughts here about Infinite Frontier?
Sure. There are two other things I'm really looking forward to. One, Nightwing, who is a character near and dear to my heart. I love Dick Grayson. I don't talk about it a lot, but I really do love Dick Grayson. He's getting an awesome creative team. Writer Tom Taylor, who does the Deceased books, and also just did a run on Suicide Squad with Bruno Redondo, who is his collaborator on Suicide Squad. That looks really good. And I know Tom's given some great interviews about basically being like, this is a time where we need a hero like Nightwing, someone who has the competence of Batman, but also has like a more positive outlook on life.
Isn't he with Barbara now?
He's going to be. Batgirl's going to be in that book. So.
I'm still so upset that him and Sean saying the Defacer broke up in the Nightwing Rebirth comics, because there was no reason for them to even do it. It was like a weird, like, just misunderstanding between the two of them. And by the time they both thought, whoa, this is a mistake, we should actually be together, for some reason they just didn't get back together again, and I hate it.
You okay?
I'll be fine. Okay.
Gather yourself, because I got one more thing I want to talk about, and that's that you knew I was going to end on this, and that is we are getting a new Flash creative team. It's going to be Jeremy Adams, whose work I'm not familiar with writing, and Brandon Peterson, who's brilliant on art. But big news for me and my fellow Wally West fans, he is going to be at the center of the new Flash book. From what I understand, Barry will still be there too, but I am hoping that this moves towards something you and I, Robbie, have been talking about for a long time. That's the idea that they can juggle two, if not more, lead Flashes, use the Green Lantern model, use the Spider-Man model, but get Wally and Barry both on the same stature. They're both the Flash. They're both awesome. We want to see it. Again, I don't know Jeremy Adams, but I'm excited that he is putting resources into Wally West. I want to see where it goes.
There's actually been tons of different Flash characters that I feel like every time that they're on the pages, I enjoy. A few months ago, I read some more of the Blue Beetle in Rebirth, and I forget which version of the Flash that is. She's from the future, but honestly, I find her to be more interesting than the Blue Beetle is. You know, in the Justice League legacy comics, when you know the kids came back, the Flash version that they had was my favorite as well. So yes, if you can have 17 Batman books, you can have 2 Flash books. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, that's going to be it for today's episode. As always, appreciate you guys downloading and look forward to the next few weeks, because by the time you hear us again, let me just double check my calendar, make sure that that I'm telling this the right way. By the next time you hear us, the first episode of WandaVision will be out, and we'll likely be using the first segment of each of these episodes instead of to talk about what we've been reading to talk a little bit about WandaVision. So if you are not already subscribed to Disney Plus, you better get on it and start watching that WandaVision so that you can geek out alongside us here on The Other Identity. But that's going to be it for us, guys. Tune in next week. Same Other Identity time, same Other Identity channel.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.